Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama. Smooth.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Tonight, we got a show for you tonight. We got my boys and girl, Urban 30 in the building, here to bring some emotion to your heart, mind, and soul, or something like that. Anyway, of course, we want to hear from you out there, so you can break us off a call. 646-929-2037. Once again, of course, want to hear from you. Want to hear what y'all got to say. You know, your opinion is valid to me sometimes. So break me off a call at 646-929-2037. And as always, just in case you're a little too nervous to break off a call, you can always email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, that's dick@smoothdrama.com, because I, of course, if you something you want to say and you don't necessarily feel comfortable calling and saying it, I got you. I will say it on air for you. I will say damn near anything that won't get me killed or something like that. So I don't mean that. I don't want to say nothing that's going to get me killed, I think. Anyway, man, it's been a hell of a day. Well, not going to go into the hell of a day, although I thought I was going to have to commit some murder today. Y'all know how these people come knocking on your door, talking about hey, you know, want to sell you the newspaper, whatnot. Why is my man knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell, knocking on the, like, he live here? I mean, he's like, ding dong, 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 ding dong. You know, I open up the door like I'm thinking it's a relative. It's the fucking paper man. I'm like, yeah, why is you banging on the door like that? He's like, oh. Just wanted to offer you the paper, and my boss is upstairs. I'm about to cuss you out. No, I don't want no goddamn paper. You know, it's some manners or something. I'm like, how are you trying to offer paper ringing folks' doorbell? I did open up the door, so that might scare him off. I'm thinking that maybe he might have been a criminal that was thinking it. But, you know, I lifted a weight or two the other day, so I got like half a muscle. So I might have looked a little too fearsome for him. I can't bum rush him. He might hurt me. Either that, or he really was a paper guy trying to sell the paper, and he was just stupid. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Speaking of stupid people, y'all know how I hate stupid people, so Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Stalkers, beware. Y'all listen to this. If you potentially thinking about stalking somebody, think again on it. There's 37-year-old Eric Kennard, who was searching for a woman who had action from abuse order against him. And so her neighbor, Cole Regal, saw him sneaking to the backyard early Monday morning, so he grabbed his shotgun, cocked the gun, and ordered him to the ground. And his first words were, "I'm just looking for somebody." Whereas Mr. Regal replies, "Yeah, you normally look for somebody 2 a.m. in the morning." So, of course, you know, he called the police while he was holding him there. And of course, the police were grateful, even though they said they hope and wish that people wouldn't do that. But obviously, he more than likely saved his neighbor's life or whatnot, because what was found is Mr. Kennard had in his pocket gloves and pepper spray. He's been charged, you know, he's been charged with loitering and prowling. And, you know, he's placed in Dauphin County Prison on $15,000 bail. But that's basically, this story is about you stalkers. And I don't understand y'all. I don't know what it is. Maybe we can get some of the superheroes, some of the Urban 30 sent out into that area to come and knock some of y'all out. I don't understand the whole stalking thing. If somebody say they don't want your ass, they don't want your ass. All the people in the world, it's what, about 8 to 10 billion people? One person gonna kill you? You gotta be with that one person? I don't know. Just a thought. Maybe you need to find a new direction, get a hobby or something, or you can do what is out there now. There's a new electronic cigarette. I guess it's something different, because this electronic cigarettes allow you to inhale and exhale a real smoke vapor, and it replicates real cigarette smoke. So I guess you can have the same cigarette feeling, you get to smoke it, and you get to smoke it indoors or anywhere else. So I guess for you smokers, y'all wouldn't have to go outside during winter time no more when it's cold or whatnot. You can smoke inside. And the beautiful thing about the electronic cigarette, I guess it doesn't have the carcinogens. So, and no tar. So people like myself who don't smoke don't have to worry about dying from and smoke. That's a beautiful thing. And it's minus the, yes, 4,000 different chemical substances that are in regular cigarettes. So if you're e-cigarettes, baby, and on top of it, you still get your nicotine. So, potential smokers out there, e-cigarettes, it's all you. Hopefully y'all take advantage of it. You know, the exact same cigarette without all that other stuff, the smoke and all that other stuff that drive your friends away. I don't know what if it gives you that cigarette breath, but hey, e-cigarette, y'all might want to look into that. Might even be cheaper, and you still get the same addiction, I guess, if you into that kind of thing. Not that I'm trying to diss my cigarette smokers out there, but hey, you know, it's on you and what you think about, or what you think is important. And, of course, we know that it was just Valentine's Day week. Wow. I ain't tripping. I said Valentine's. April Fool's. You know, we're a week away from April Fool's. And I guess there are some people who did the April Fool's joke that they tried to play on their grandma, where it said the people called in, and this is in Lorain, Ohio, where someone called the 12-year-old grandson, called her grandma, or called her grandma, and said that your grandson was shot. And so of 911. They show up and they admit that it was a hoax and, you know, almost give grandma a heart attack. And this was, but the funny thing is, this was suggested by the 32-year-old aunt, which is kind of funny, because you think that an adult, at least you would think that an adult would have a little common sense to, nah, you don't want to play a joke like that. I mean, because I don't know about anybody else, but a family member getting shot, I fail to see the humor. I just fail to see the humor. Maybe somebody else gets it. I don't. Probably never will either. But I guess that's the kind of humor that are for some people. Kind of scary what y'all think is funny nowadays. And speaking of something that's not funny, actually, I guess Emmitt Smith was on, and for those of you who don't know, Emmitt Smith, pro player, used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. He was on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and it came out that his family tree has slaves and a slave owner. I'm like, okay, is that news here in America? You know, and he started talking about, you know, his family and, you know, family members that were slaves. I'm like, am I the only person that watched Roots that ever read a history book? I mean, not trying to diss, you know, people going back and checking out the genealogy chart, but I didn't really think it was like a newsworthy story, like something to be told on national TV. I know some people may have a different opinion on it, but I'm like, yeah, we know slavery exists and, you know, we want to talk about it, whatnot, but, you know, people on TV talking like, oh, it was a shock. You had slaves in your family? Yeah. You had a slave owner in your family? Yeah. Is anybody shocked by that? Anybody? Raise your hand. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I don't understand some things that get to be newsworthy, like that. That's not really newsworthy. I don't think it'll ever be newsworthy because it's something that happened. Well, not happened, but happened, which is why I've never really been a proponent of Black History Month, because I believe that one month can't define me. I think that if you're gonna do something, if you have to designate a month where you have to force people to study their culture, I think there's something wrong with the people. That should be something that you study all the time. I don't need a month to tell me or remind me, oh, I'm Black. I kind of see that every day. I'm gonna see it every day. I think, unless I do that Sammy Sosa skin rejuvenation, but somehow I'm not thinking that's going to happen anytime soon, I don't think. Anyway, on that note, I'm going to go on a commercial break, station identification break, and I'll be right back.
Listen here, man. It's your boy Cam Wee. I'm just acting a fool, acting a fool, acting a fool. with my man DH. Y'all know him as. And Butter Butter Pecan. Yes, sir. Chosen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. And tonight we have a special guest, Urban 30, who should be calling in here any minute now. Matter of fact, I believe these my homies right here. Callers, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
Pretty good, and you?
I'm good. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Thank you. We got the team in yet? I'm not sure. Did anyone else call? I think it's they're all calling right now.
I'm here.
Oh, hey, Renzo.
Hey.
Hi.
Can you hear me as well?
Yes. I hear everybody. So we got the Urban 30 in the building.
Yeah, we're in the house.
We got everybody. Is Tony here?
No.
Okay, so I don't know if we have Tony, but we have 3 out of 5.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, hey, Tony. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so tell us, who do we have? Who is the Urban 30?
Renzo, you want to do the intro?
This is myself, Lorenzo. We have Toni. She started the blog with me way back when. And we also have Wendy and T-Girl.
And hey, what's up?
And Chris is our resident hitman.
How's it going? What's up?
The legendary.
Legendary hitman.
Sorry,
yeah, you don't want to get on his bad side.
All right.
Yeah, you definitely want to turn this guy down and don't piss me off today.
Is there a good side? I wasn't aware.
I've read some of y'all stuff, so I definitely don't want to get on the hitman's bad side.
Yeah, never a good idea.
So tell us how y'all got started in. You know, how did you form Urban 30? Where did that name come from?
Oh, are you going to take that? Because actually, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I know we were playing around with a couple of different ideas. And,
were there originally
30
superheroes?
No, the Urban 30, at first it was a placeholder. And then it just kind of grew on me. So, you know, I had no problems keeping it.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I was saying the blog started, it was, you know, about I guess 2 years ago or something. You know, and we just had this idea to kind of have this collaborative writing thing. You know, I know that it's been done before, but, you know, we wanted it to be more interactive. And we did start out with about 5 members. And, you know, we couldn't really figure out what to call it because everybody had their character identities, but we needed that team name. So the Urban 30 was really just a placeholder, and it's still here.
Okay.
Well, if I remember correctly, I think you also had intended for, once you had started, you guys had started getting the blog up and running, and you had a roster starting to form. I think you had intended to actually have about 30 members, you know, because the city in which the characters dwelled in was so expansive and so large, it would probably take about 30 members to cover it. So I thought that,
right,
that was the original concept, or the concept that, you know, the placeholder grew into as you guys developed the blog. And then as, you know, people joined on later, there was plenty of room, being that there were 30 characters available, 30 spaces, I should say, available.
Yeah,
okay, go ahead.
Although I was going to say we actually did, because we started off with the five members, and then when a couple of those dropped off, Renzo and I were actually writing as different characters also. So we had, I think we had about 10, 15 characters going on at one time, and that count for 30 members, you know, quote unquote, group.
Okay, so what is the Urban 30's mission?
It depends on which character you ask.
Yeah.
Each character kind of has their own background and their own agenda, and even though each character is a part of the team, they're still basically kind of living their own lives in various forms. You know, and they come together to deal with the situations that arise, but at the same time, each character has their own personal agenda as well.
Okay. I guess I'll start. Hit me up with one of my favorite character designs, Elemental.
Fan club.
I'm an artist myself, so I saw the picture. I was like, that's hot. By Elemental.
Okay. When you look at the pictures, you gotta give it up to Hitman because he is our resident artist.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We basically tell him what we want the character to look like, or give him an idea of it, and we basically just turn him loose.
Right.
So when he came up with that picture for Elemental, I mean, we had gone through, you know, just as placeholders, pretty much the whole Hero Machine thing, just to get an idea of what we wanted our character to look like. But when I was able to sit down with him and tell him what I really wanted her to look like, she just came up with it.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that, guys.
When he came up with that character, I actually told Tony she could never go back to any other look.
Hey, I haven't seen the other ones, but this one is kind of nice.
We're going to hide the other one.
All right, and so, you know, we go to the resident artist, Hitman. What's Hitman about?
Well, Hitman is effectively the Batman of the group, if you will. I hate to kind of mix my characters with other existing characters, but that's the easiest way to define him. He's actually a regular human without superpowers, but he's trained himself and worked extremely hard to develop his body into a weapon, a fighting machine. And he's also basically kind of like the MacGyver of the group, where he comes up with solutions to problems that are extremely difficult. And to top it all off, you know, he's got a bit of an anger issue, an anger management issue.
Anger?
That's going to put it mild.
I'm being nice. Back off. You know, I told y'all not to piss it off.
I told you should just say he's just passionate about his work.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Basically, he's about, you know, if you've committed a violent crime, you've done something horrible, then you deserve to be paid back in kind. And so that's what he does.
In kind. All right. So now, just to get back to Elemental, what is Elemental's power for the people out there who don't know?
Elemental is actually an alien. If anyone has ever seen, say, like Hellboy 2 and seen the elemental character, she's like a cross between that and the human. Her thing is she is one with nature. So she can command the trees, the grass, the earth, anything that's of a natural substance. Not to mention the little tentacles that, you know, from time to time she has shooting out of her back.
From time to time?
From time to time.
They always popping somebody.
Well, when folks deserve to get popped, they get popped. You know, that's just how it is.
Okay. And you know that can kind of mess up her love life, right?
Well, you know, they don't come out then. We can control them,
actually. No?
I guess that's the one time she shows restraint.
Depends what you're into, I guess.
No, they might like them. What can I say? Does Baden like them? No,
Tony, does he like them?
Yes, Baden likes them.
Okay.
I'm up in the air with it. I don't know if I necessarily want to make her mad and get popped. So tell us about them.
Well, there's a ladies' club out there somewhere that absolutely love them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we ain't going there tonight.
Say for our listeners who aren't quite sure what's going on here, you have to kind of catch up in the archives as to some of the background storylines that are going on here that are being alluded to. We've had some interesting adventures with some of our characters, some of the places that we've wound up, like ladies' clubs, for example.
Oh yeah, you know, Tara was just trying to go use the bathroom. She wasn't sure where she was going. It just happened to be the only thing that was open at the time she was out on patrol, so.
But that's the cool thing about the Urban 30 is that, yes, they're heroes. They go out. They kick the bad guys' butt, but guess what? They got to go to the bathroom, and there's no toilet tissue, and you really got to go. Like, they have real-life situations on top of these superhero kind of, like, actions.
Yeah. Well, I was actually going to ask that question, you know, what happens if you're in the middle of a mission and it's got to happen? You know, like, you can't tell the bad guys, you know what, time out. I'll be right back on the potty break.
Now, see, again, that depends on what hero that you ask, because, you know, Leroy will tell you that no self-respecting hero would take a bathroom break in the middle of a fight.
Right. Whereas Nightmare would probably take a bathroom break in the middle. Yeah.
All right. I was going to ask, now, Nightmare has an interesting face.
That's kind of what you're putting that. yes, Night Terror is my character, and she actually is schizophrenic, which is part of why she, her face looks the way it does, because a lot of the images that she's seeing inside of her mind, she can project them out, including making herself look like a nightmare. So that's part of why she looks like that, and it's pretty intimidating, I would say, to the bad guys. To see this woman, her jaw is distended, and she's tall, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I probably would, you know, use the bathroom on myself. I turned the corner and I saw.
If you read back to some posts, some of the bad guys have used the bathroom on themselves.
Goodness, I forgot about that. Yeah, Frat Boy went to the bathroom on himself after seeing Night Terror, because she picked up a guy at a bar, and, you know, if you see the main picture, she's very pretty, and Chris has done a great job of making her look very pretty. She's based off of Charlie Baltimore, her appearance, but, yeah, when it's time to kick some ass, then, yeah, it gets a little scary.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I definitely have some interesting stories, for sure.
Everyone has an interesting story, though. Renzo, didn't at one point, didn't your character drop his girlfriend a long time ago and she became a villain? Do you remember that?
It hasn't been determined yet.
I'm sorry, what?
It hasn't been determined that she's a villain, but she was dropped into a vat of toxic waste.
Right, oh, they yes, pretty her. Angry, remember?
That's kind of hard.
It's realistic, though, because you wouldn't think of Superman dropping someone, but this isn't Superman. This is Sonnets. He's a superhero and a real guy.
All right. So we're saying that Sonnets has an anger management problem also?
Oh, no, not at all. He's very into the spotlight. He's very... happy-go-lucky, and he probably doesn't take things as serious as he should.
Right.
Except for his girlfriend that he dropped into the toxic place.
No, he moved on. He moved on.
he's over it. The woman's just not.
I think the only discrepancy with that situation was that the girlfriend turned out to... have had some sort of relationship with Hitman.
Excuse me?
And the girlfriend, Sonus's girlfriend, she ended up having some sort of relationship with Hitman, and it got really, really blurry after that, and she fell.
So really after blurry, she found out, right?
Sonus pleads the fifth. He pleads the fifth on all of that.
So he was just, it was blurry, it was dark, and there
was blurry.
He may have had a drink or two. He has been known to drink and fly. So, I mean, you know, there's all these factors.
Yeah. Has he ever gotten a ticket for that?
Can you get a ticket for that?
Well, I don't think the cops are up there, so.
You know, they need to come up with some flying police officers to patrol up there.
When we talk about those real life situations, I'm talking about, like, would he get a ticket if he accidentally hurled on somebody on the ground or gave him that artillery treatment?
I would say Gehenna would have definitely given him a ticket prior to the Urban 30.
I don't think Sonus is the type to fly down and get himself up. I think one of the dynamics of the team is that Elemental had always been the more responsible superhero, whereas Sonus was the more, let's have fun, let's go out, I'm going to the strip bar, oh, by the way, I stopped some bad guys, now let's have a drink. Yeah, he's the party guy. And in bringing on Night Terror, it became interesting because she had her own agenda. And in some of the blogs, you'll see that she comes up with her own missions, her own directions, and she's kind of going that way. And the team's telling her to go left, and she's going right. So the ideas that Wendy come up with for Night Terror just kind of balance everything out to give us, you know, just more than one way to go. And then in adding in Chris with Hitman, we brought in the kind of the more action-packed, more bad boy thing. And I always tease Tony about it because I always say that when Chris got on the scene, everybody became a badass.
We had to step up our game because everywhere we looked, Chris was just beating people down, and we're like, God, man, yeah.
Yeah,
because
it was all romance and gentle, and then it's like, okay, let's kick some ass. I want to be like Hitman when I grow up.
Well, you guys had the high drama covered, so, you know, everybody had to have these great, interesting, you know, intricate lives and these personal lives with, you know, families or dates or, you know, all these other things besides the superheroing, and you were showing both sides of, you know, of the coin, you know, showing that these are heroes with real problems and real issues. And, you know, it kind of felt like, well, you know, you guys have all that covered, so let me go blow some stuff up. You know, I'm good at that. I'm not really a touchy-feely kind of guy, so, you know, we'll go this route instead.
Yeah, but we have gotten him to get us in touch with his a little of his softer side. Him and Rosario.
Let's not even go there.
Hold on. Now, y'all can't come on this and then not try to give us a little bit.
Okay. Well, basically, you know, with the Hitman, he also has this on again, off again girlfriend, who is. She's also a superhero as well, and she was working for an opposing team, which is now dissolved. But her issue is basically that she's very untrustworthy. You can tell that there's something not quite right about her, but you haven't really seen what it is exactly. But everybody knows.
Shiftless is the word that comes to mind.
All right. What's that? So we got the cliffhanger, basically. So we got two things to find out.
Yeah. Everybody has a cliffhanger.
Well, first, where are y'all from, and where can the people find y'all?
Well, most of us are from the D.C. metropolitan area, pretty much. We're spread out throughout D.C. and Maryland.
Mhm. And I'm the only one that actually is in Philly.
Right.
But we still count you as a local girl, so it doesn't count. We're going to discount Philly.
Alright, and so if people wanted to read your stories, where would they find your stories at?
That would be www.urban30, so it's urban30.com. And you can find us on Facebook, just type in Urban 30.
Mm-hmm. And does Leroy have a Twitter?
He has a Twitter, Leroy J. Powers. On Twitter, and we have a MySpace, Urban 30.
We are everywhere. My goodness.
We're everywhere.
Yeah.
Wow. We had a Twitter for Dispatch, too, our illustrious leader, who's MIA right now.
It has. He might be out on the mission.
Maybe.
I know. We're trying to find him now.
He's out there.
He's been messing around with Hitman.
So tell us about, and hopefully I'm pronouncing this right, Gehenna.
Yes, it is correct, Gehenna. Gehenna's the latest member, and she actually is an immortal. So,
okay.
And her power is she actually, besides being an immortal, she can absorb energy. So, you know, you pretty much, she can put her hand on something and kind of get the history behind what was going on, you know. Mm. So Gehenna might not be the girl to date if you're out there cheating.
No secrets. But,
good. I wish I had Gehenna's power. Yeah. Be like, you know, where were you at? And she put her hand on you and be like, oh, you was with Keisha, huh?
I'm thinking that if you're just a regular mortal and you're dating the immortal, you got to figure you're putting your life on the line anyway.
Hmm. Actually, and that is the interesting fact, because she's actually dating someone now who she was actually, before the Urban 30, she was working as a detective, and she was actually dating her partner. And he's immortal, and he really wants to have this family life with her, but she's a little kind of unsure. Like, she cares for him, but she has this kind of deeper, wilder side that just wants to kind of be adventurous and stuff, and here comes the Urban 30, and investigating the case, and she becomes involved in it. And eventually becomes a member of the team.
Now that was one of my questions. Like, with immortals, can they get pregnant?
Actually, yes, they can. And you know, coming up, there's going to be some stories about Gehenna kind of wanting to figure out family, and we've actually done a post where she's kind of thinking about just having a normal life.
Okay.
So that's something there. And also, she's kind of, there's a bit of her history that is blocked out that even is unknown to her. So hopefully in the coming series, we'll unlock a little bit of that. But she's about 320 years old.
Oh, that's all?
That's it, yeah.
All right.
A very youthful 300.
Yes.
Yeah, she looked good for her age.
Well, you know, she tried to work it out. She got the pole dance classes going.
All right. And so what is her power?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
What is her power?
Besides absorbing energy, she can also go into an astral state. So when she fights, her eyes go white. She starts getting the glow, kind of like Bruce Leroy, and like she just goes off.
Okay.
Right. She gets all angry black woman on you.
Yeah, she kind of been up in a couple of the members' faces, you know.
So, Now, I was going to ask y'all, talk about your writing style and how do y'all come together as, you know, different entities to make one seamless story?
Ooh, that's a progress every day.
Yeah.
I think the everybody brings something different in the sense of, I guess, the type of writing that they do, where Chris is able to really, like, give you an intricate scene, especially with adventure and action. He can give you so many details that add everything up. I typically default to humor and things that are just more relaxed in it, so when you read it, you're just kind of laughing and everything. And this is the way I see everybody. Everybody can have something different, but this is the way I see it. But with Tamara for Gehenna, you know, I feel like she has this, how do I say her story? It's very innocent in the way she approaches everything. Maybe because it's new to her as well as to the character, is very interested to where she's always asking questions. She's always trying to figure everything out. And then we have Wendy, who brings just this whole wild side to the team, a part that we don't really explore because, you know, my stuff is real basic. But Wendy will bring another side that's not quite fantasy, but not quite science fiction, but not quite everything. It's really kind of a mixture of, you know, just anything that's considered fiction or whatever. She'll mix in something that I might have thought would have been like trolls and elves or whatever, but she finds a way to bring it into the story, and it's not trolls and elves, you know. And then when I get to Tony, to me, she still always has the kind of leveling effect to where she's trying to level everything out so that we're not too much or too little all at once, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Also, I think that one of the things that makes us interesting is that we're able to, when we integrate our stories, you know, sometimes we'll tell the same story from different characters' perspectives, you know, and so we'll have the same, all the characters arrive on a situation, for example, and each of us will take a portion and we'll tell the story from our perspective, and that allows not only the reader to get different perspectives on the situation and see how each character would handle it, but also get a taste of how each writer, you know, thinks about the same kind of situation. So by that, you know, we're able to kind of give a little bit of different flavor than what you're usually used to reading in your fiction reading.
Okay, so as a storyline, I mean, do you guys ever plan on, like, doing a full-length graphic novel, considering doing cartoons? Any of that in the works?
We want to take the website probably to Motion Comics next, so that it's more graphic. I started on an Urban 30 graphic novel. We want to bring those extra things. We're going to probably have a commercial on YouTube sometime later on when we put some more images together. But we'd like to advance it to that part, you know, to that next level, just because, you know, we like the story, we have fun doing it, and, you know, we want to just make it more and more dynamic. So, you know, when the opportunity presents itself for us to move to the next level and be a motion comic and then be a graphic novel and ultimately be animated, you know, we'll definitely take that step.
Well, you know, y'all like the Wu-Tang Clan of comics.
Oh, I like that. That's a unique.
I wish.
That works.
We'll take that.
I'll take that.
No, I mean, because, you know, when you talk about what y'all doing is something that, when you talk about you bringing in all these different people, and like you're saying, you have the different characters, and you can integrate them into one story, and then you can tell the same story but from different characters' perspectives. You know, I mean, that's a collaboration. You can get a lot of hands in the fire and put it out, whereas y'all don't put it out. It goes. I mean, you're very interesting. Interesting storyline.
I think that's one of the things.
I said one of the things that I think I enjoy the most is when our characters actually get opportunity to interact with one another. I think when we do interact, it forces all of us to kind of step our games up a little bit more, you know, especially when they're both trying to either, you know, fight a villain or something action heavy. It really forces us to kind of really not only think about our character, but also interacting with the other character and still trying to build an interesting storyline, but have a natural conversation.
Okay.
So, will we be, I mean, do you guys attend any of the Comic Cons or anything of that nature? Book people coming up?
We will be this year. We'll probably do some of the ones that are local here and, you know, move our way through, you know, the circuit in the next couple of years. We'll have some promotional material printed out, you know, just so that we can pass it out. But mostly, I'm just going to go just to have fun. So I'm hoping that when Tony goes, she'll man the booth because I'm probably going to be running around taking pictures.
Oh, that's what you think.
It sounds like you've been drafted, Tony.
Look, just because she plays a homebody mother, you know, in the thing does not mean you're going to stick me at the booth for a whole Comic-Con. It's not happening.
We're going to take a vote. We're going to take a vote. All those in favor, aye.
Yeah,
aye.
Aye.
Think
Tony should sit at the booth.
I'm touching this one with a 10-foot pole.
We'll bring you some autographs, Tony.
I guess it's unanimous.
No, she's an alien. She has to get out. She can't stay there now.
I mean, as an alien, you kind of have to assimilate and try to understand the population that you're protecting, right?
Right, which is why, I mean, Tara gets out a lot. Right now, you know, she, in secret, married this bad boy that's, he was the number one guy for one of our favorite bad guys. Our favorite villain is Peter.
Hater. You're such a hater. You are.
What? Who's a hater?
You're being a hater.
No, the guy's a punk. Like, I don't know why you guys can't see that.
No,
they
hate her husband.
We have to clarify because this isn't going to make any sense to anybody else.
They hate her husband because he left her life as a bad guy and wanted to go straight for his woman.
Okay, so we're going to clarify. We're going to clarify for everybody. Elemental got married in the blog. The character got married to a supposedly reformed bad guy. The dynamic between Elemental and this quote unquote reformed bad guy is that she says jump and he says how high.
So it's worse than that. It's worse than that because one, not only does she say jump and how high, but also where does he work?
In an ice cream shop.
He owns an ice cream shop, thank you. That's his, you know,
never,
his concession to going
admitted,
straight.
He never stated that. Okay. He never actually stated that. You need to clear that up when it is.
I'm trying to see what
I'm still thinking doing. He's got the little hat on.
What self-respecting bad guy owns an ice cream shop? Like, really?
We've had this issue since Tara came forward and told Leroy, because Tara and Leroy are really like brother and sister. He was the one who, you know, pretty much recruited and brought her into the Urban 30. They used to work together and whatnot, so it was always a thing where they would slip out for meetings, go out, fight bad guys, and come back in time enough to clock out. But when she found out she was pregnant, she was like, let me go forward, you know, and let Leroy know, because I know he'll be the main one to lose his mind. Let me get this out the way. Leroy basically got up and walked out on her in a restaurant and left her sitting there looking stupid. Since then, she's had problems with him, with Baden.
He left her to pay the check and went to beat up her boyfriend because he's a punk. Just saying.
With Hitman.
You left her to pay the check?
Yes, he did.
And went to beat up the boyfriend. Don't leave that part out. It's very important. He's a punk.
So
he's not
I'm
a punk because she hadn't told him.
All right. So now, as superhero and you're existing in the world, what's your status with governments in the world? And are they trying to work with you, hire you? They trying to kill you, capture you, steal your powers? What's that dynamic?
Okay. Well, we do say that there's a payroll and that the Urban 30 receives government funding. But the mayor is an alien trying to kill everybody, so they're not getting money from him.
Okay. I missed that part. You said something about the mayor?
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. The mayor is basically an alien. He's an imposter. He's actually an alien. And he has designs on destroying all of the superheroes in the area so that he can basically take over. The Urban 30 is aware of this, and they figured out what he is, but they don't know how to deal with him as yet. So, you know, he's still the mayor as far as the rest of the world is concerned, or the city is concerned, and they're treating him as such. And the heroes kind of have to work around that so they can figure out how to stop him, how to put him down.
Okay. So with some of the problems that's going on, how would the Urban 30 have dealt with the protesters against the health care bill? With the shooting at the offices and whatnot.
That's actually an issue that we haven't really covered. We haven't really gotten into that too much, have we, guys? I don't believe so, anyway.
I haven't taken Sonus into current events, but, I mean, if it's like a scenario thing, well, what would he do? Hypothetically speaking, he's still that party guy. He's still too laid back. So, I mean, unless he's there and something goes off, then, you know, he'll neutralize the situation. But it's not likely that he'll even show up to the protest or the event because it's not his speed. He'll go to the bar.
He'll walk past the tea party and get some to drink.
Right. Now, if they happen to be where he is and something goes crazy, he's in the middle of it and he'll do what he needs to do. But, you know, if it's like, hey, nobody go downtown because they're protesting, he's not going downtown.
All right. So now we're talking government funding. Is this international government funding or are we just United States?
That we haven't identified because the leader that Tony mentioned before, we say in the story that the Urban 30 was founded by a man named Tony Gamble, who we call Dispatch, obviously because he sends everybody out when they need to go. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. All of the
hello.
Is anybody there?
Yeah, we're here.
We're all here. We're all still here. Can you hear us?
We hear each other, but he can't hear us. Wow.
Where is he? Did we get disconnected? No.
Did we get disconnected?
No, we're still connected.
All of the
Tony's
same time.
Tony's still here. Urban 30's still here.
Wait, I think Tony's gone.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Does anyone have the radio station on? Is he talking still?
Hold on. The station is still on because I can hear everybody still talking, so we are still there. And
okay.
It's a delay. I can hear my voice.
Don't tell any of your secrets.
Don't tell me secrets? Oh, darn.
Okay. In any case,
who is that in the background?
Talk people.
That's you. So, yeah. I guess until Mr. Hugger comes back,
Are we on commercial?
No, just keep talking. It's still live.
Yeah, so I think that...
Okay, what were you saying? Go ahead, Renzo.
Yeah, so we get our funding from the government, but that element of where and how it works and everything is really not revealed to anybody in the Urban 30, and probably Sonus and Elemental have that proprietary information. It's just not something that's revealed out, and we don't get too deep into the inner workings. So the way the organization works is that there's funding that comes in. Are we back?
Yes, we're back. Sorry about that.
There he is.
No problem.
Oh, no problem.
Technically, the show kept going, so you're good.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah, so we were basically saying that the funding is taken care of on the back end. We don't really reveal it to everybody in the Urban 30. They just know that they get money, a stipend or a paycheck to support being a hero. The organization works in the sense that their job is to, quote-unquote, save the day. And so that's what they do.
Right.
We don't have a...
everywhere.
Yeah, there's no heavy structure to it that kind of keeps everybody in sort of a military-type thing. Everybody's kind of free to do what they need to do as long as the world gets saving, so to speak. We just say that, you know, there's a stipend that comes in. Every now and again, Elemental may deal with the back end.
Hello?
But other than that, yeah, but other than that, it's definitely worked out to where everybody's taken care of. We don't even, you know.
Right, but most of us still have full-time jobs.
Yeah, Leroy's going to totally go back to work soon, I think. Yeah, he's going to stop totally shooking his responsibilities, I think, and he's going to go back to work.
Well, that is good news.
Yeah, so he can, you know, leave in the middle of the day.
Okay, I need a job like that where I can just go and save people and come back and no one notices.
Right, because he used to do it all the time.
Well, we're running out of time here. I want to thank y'all for coming on the show and talking about it. And I definitely want to keep up with y'all and what you're doing. I mean, of course, I'm reading your stuff, and I got a lot of catching up to do. Obviously, y'all have blogs for days and nights and nights and days, but. Once again, tell the people where they can find y'all.
Okay, so the site is Urban 30. We're at www.urban3, urban30.com. You can follow Leroy on Twitter, Leroy J. Powers on Twitter, and you can also find us on Facebook. Just search Urban 30, and you'll find our Facebook group.
Okay.
Check us out.
Well, I want once again thank y'all for coming on the show. And I look forward to hearing y'all again and definitely talking more in depth, and hopefully I can catch you at one of these cons and we can talk some more.
Thank you for having us.
All right, thanks for having us.
We definitely look forward to it.
Hey, when y'all come out with some new stuff, I want to hear from you.
Oh, you will, believe me.
Oh, no doubt.
I got something for y'all this weekend. Just be looking out for your email.
Okay, will do.
All right.
All right, have a good night.
Y'all have
Thanks
a good
so much,
night.
Man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we're going to crash. It's late over here.
Yeah, it's
1 o'clock.
I have work in the morning, unfortunately.
We all do.
Yeah, I know. Y'all,
that is until Renzo gives us that real stipend. Right, Renzo? For all the writing? Get some government funding in here. No.
Looks like the rest of us are going to be Clark Kent.
All right. Anytime y'all want to come on, I'm here for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You guys
right,
have a good night.
Thanks a lot.
All right, that was the Urban 30. And so we want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Thank you to Urban 30 for coming on the show. Dick Hugger, Smooth Drama, I'm out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast, smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.